Skull Rock Podcast, talking all things Disney with your hosts, Aljon Goh and Dave Bossert.
Do you just love to learn more about the magic that embodies animated films, theme park attractions, and more? The all-encompassing universe created and produced by the genius of Walt Disney has spanned nearly 100 years and counting.
From his earliest film endeavors with the Laugh-O-Gram cartoons and the Alice comedies, to the creation of Mickey Mouse, to the first animated feature film, Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, and then dreaming up Disneyland, Walt Disney continuously raised the creative bar, and today his company has carried on that tradition as a global entertainment juggernaut. I'm Dave Bossert, artist, filmmaker, and author.
And I'm Aljon Goh, musician, podcaster, and radio guy. Every week, Dave and I will explore the entertainment galaxy that is Disney with insightful conversation, stories, and special guests talking all things Disney.
Listen to never-before-heard stories and behind-the-scenes moments from some of your favorite Disney films, theme park attractions, performances, books, music, and so much more from knowledgeable, insightful, and thought-provoking hosts and guests. Hear the latest news about Disney past, present, and future.
Skull Rock Podcast is your go-to source for the magic we all love. Skull Rock Podcast. Visit skullrockpodcast.com. How are you, Kristen?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. Just excited to be back on this long weekend. And I'm stoked because I don't have to go into work on Monday.
Or the rest of the week.
It's nice to be on vacation. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I love it. It's sharing. Hey, and by the way, sharing is caring here on the Disney list. So feel free to click that bell for notifications every time we go live and share the show as we go live. You can also check out our podcast wherever you find podcasts.
Hi, Gail.
Gail is in his house.
Yeah, I just realized that our topic today, you are dressed for the topic.
I am.
However, I am not, because I was thinking more about tomorrow being a holiday and, you know, the
Labor Day holiday.
Yeah. Going more with the patriotic theme.
Okay.
Not that that really has anything to do with labor.
No.
Other than it's an American holiday.
Well, this is true.
It's not an international holiday. So
true.
That kind of makes it patriotic.
Okay, right? Sure. Yeah, whatever you say. I knew where you're going to go with that. I'm like, is she going to really say what she's going to say?
No.
Okay. Hey, what are we talking about today, Kristen?
We are talking about our top 10 Epcot International Food and Wine Festival tips.
Yeah, so the festival is well underway. We know that. It's all good. Fortunately, Kristen and I, being new parents, we're missing out on this year, but we hope to make it there super soon. And because, you know, this entire time during lockdown and this pandemic has been, we haven't gotten our Disney fill. So in order to get our Disney parks fill, we have to live vicariously through our friends and other fellow podcasters who are able to do that, which is, I'm just, you know, it is what it is. It is what it is. But anyway, feel free to let us know what your hacks are, your tips and tricks for this, for the Epcot International Food and Wine Festival.
For this special event.
Yeah, for the special event. And before we get into the big list and some Disney headline news, let's go ahead and tell everybody, once again, we broadcast live here on Facebook every single week. And we drop the podcast every Sunday night. So feel free to subscribe to our show everywhere you get podcasts, on social media, especially Facebook. That's the best way you can find us. Drop us those DMs. Drop us those emails. The Disney List Podcast at gmail.com. And also, the show is brought to you by our friends, actually by Kristen, because she is an agent. She can help you plan your next Disney vacation, as well as any cruise, Adventures by Disney when they come back online, any cruise line. So, Kristen, how can people support the show and get you to book their trip and save them time and money and all that?
They can contact me at themeparksandcruises@gmail.com.
All right. Hey, we'd also like to send a shout out to our friends there at the Disney Dorks. Love the Disney Dorks. Of course, Sorcerer Radio. as well in the Sorcerer Radio Disney Fun Zone, leaving us comments in there as well. So, with all that said, let's get this show on the road, shall we?
Yes.
The following is a production of the Sorcerer Radio Network.
An imagination, huh?
Ladies and gentlemen.
Broadcasting from the Tiki Room Studios in Music City.
It's the Disney List.
The Disney List.
You've got to have characters that the audience, the viewer, the reader cares about.
What makes a hero? What's friendship? What's the idea of sacrificing yourself for something larger?
With the hope that it will be a source of joy and inspiration to all the world.
The Disney List on Sorcerer Radio with your hosts, Kristen and Aljon. Yay! Another week, another Disney List. We're here ranking, giving you some tips in our big old Disney List. We go live every single week. Thank you so much for checking out the show on Sorcerer Radio or anywhere you find podcasts. I'm your host, lifelong Disney, Marvel, and Star Wars fan, Aljon Go. You can follow me on Instagram at Aljon Go. Of course, alongside the lovely and talented Miss Dining at Disney.com herself. Hello, Kristen.
Hello.
Where can people follow you?
They can follow me at Dining at Disney.
Love it. I'd love to send a shout out to our friends there at Replay Heroes who do our retro music. They're shredtastic music, Replay Heroes. Check them out on Facebook and anywhere you find music on Amazon as well as Spotify. And we have an awesome top 10 plus. It's an XL show. We have extras. What is our topic for discussion today, Kristen?
Top 10 tips for the Epcot International Food and Wine Festival.
I love it. Gail's in the chat and says, love your shirts. Yeah, for those of you visually not watching the live stream, I'm wearing my Epcot International Food and Wine Festival shirt from 2019 before the world went topside turvy. And Kristen's wearing her Captain Marvel shirt. Kat would appreciate that because she's a Captain Marvel fan.
Unlike me.
Hey, you like the character, just not fan of Brie Larson.
Yeah, yeah, I wish they'd replace her.
Hey, Gail is saying, I hope you guys are being safe. Yeah, we're being safe. We're here in the old Tiki Room Studios here in Nashville, Tiki Room Studios 2, and the kiddos are doing fine. What else happened this week? We got ourselves a soda machine. You guys know about this, the soda machine thing. What do they call those things? Fizzy something?
Soda stream.
Soda stream. So we're having our very first, I made my very first soda stream strawberry fizzy drink, infused water, whatever you call it. What do they call these things?
I would call it carbonated beverage.
We made homemade sodies. Yo, pretty good.
Zero calories.
Zero calorie. I like it. I like it. They're great for cocktails. They're great for sodas and all kinds of things. So anyway, awesome on that. And we invite everybody checking out the show on our multiple social media feeds to check out the interaction that's going on in the live chat at facebook.com/thedisneylist. Please do that. And we'd also love for you to give us those ratings there on the show. I know that not only do we stream on Sorcerer Radio, but we also people can check out the show on the SR app. They can check out our podcast on everywhere you find podcasts, but we love those reviews and we'd appreciate it. Every little bit helps the old algorithm. I hate fighting the algorithm. We've been doing this. We've been on Sorcerer Radio and podcasting now for, gosh, since 2009.
Yep.
So every little bit helps, though. We do appreciate that. But we do, before we talk into about our favorite, I think this is our favorite event that the Disney Parks host. Is this right?
Yes.
Is this our favorite event?
It's my favorite event.
Yeah, it's mine too. I love to eat. Boy loves to eat. And we definitely love the International Food and Wine Festival there at Epcot. So we're going to talk about those tips and tricks. But before we do all that, we do have some of this. Shang-Chi. Man, they are breaking box office with Shang-Chi, and that's awesome. They're well on their way to being the number one, I think they're the number one film this weekend, and they're breaking box office records. They see that this film is just as awesome as Black Panther in a lot of ways, which is awesome because we love Black Panther. And in the pantheon of our top five films, I think Black Panther is definitely in my top five, right, of Marvel cinematic movies. I think Iron Man, Guardians of the Galaxy, Endgame, you know, and all that. If you treat Endgame and Infinity War as one film, because it's kind of part one and two, you know?
Yes.
And would you put Black Panther in there too, in the top five of your Marvel films?
Because
I like to put Ragnarok in there too. Ragnarok is really good.
I don't know. I have to think about that.
I have to think about it. This is definitely on its way. And so, having said that, you know, with Shang-Chi, they brought Shang-Chi into the park, and that was pretty cool. So they have him versus Death Dealer there, and it's him. He's not, this is my thing. They put him into the outfit that everybody knows him in from the trailer, which is basically his varsity jacket or whatever, his little, you know, his jacket and his jeans and shirt. And everybody's like, hey, look, some rando Chinese dude is in there, you know, fighting some rando. And I just laugh because obviously I'm Chinese. I can say that. But I just laughed at some random Asian guy in there fighting in his street clothes. And I think that's because they spent so much time marketing that fight scene, that Jackie Chan fight scene on the bus, that people will look at him and go, oh, yeah, that's Shang-Chi, you know, but not his superhero outfit. Like at the very, you know, that you see halfway through a lot of the newer trailers, it's like, yeah, maybe put him in the superhero outfit so he looks like an Avenger, maybe.
But it may change because they've changed Loki's outfit.
Yes,
so who's not to say that they're going to switch things up depending on the day of what outfit they get to wear?
Yes, my point exactly. I say that. And see, here's a little bit of a introducing Shang-Chi. This is from the Disney Parks blog Instagram. Fighting the Death Dealer. And man, they got some really cool martial arts, you know, action. I mean, you have to have that authenticity. If you're going to cast somebody as Shang-Chi, like the greatest martial artist in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, you better have an actor that knows how to do some kung fu, right? You would hope.
Yes. I don't know about kung fu, but you know, martial arts, definitely.
Well, Shang-Chi is kung fu. Remember, he's their version of Bruce Lee. So, and that is the martial art of China. So there you go. The Death Dealer making appearances with Shang-Chi in Avengers Campus at Disney's California Adventure. My gosh, Kristen, I wish I was there. The characters are in action. They do have a little bit of a stunt show they do. And of course, they still have our favorite original Loki, not the variant, not the different variants. Although I have to say, it would be kind of cool to see variant Lokis in there along with him. So you could see Sylvie. It would be nice. You could see Sylvie and you could see regular Loki. You could see Boastful Loki, Kid Loki, Gator Loki.
Mm.
You see all of them in the park just hanging out. That'd be kind of old man Loki and the Kermit the Frog kind of big horns. Would you like that?
I don't know. I just like the original Loki.
You just like the original? But you don't like him in his TVA outfit, right? The Time Variance Authority. You just want him in his regular, you know, Asgardian garb.
He can be in that outfit, but I prefer the other.
The Asgardian outfit, right?
Yeah, yeah, because he's my favorite Loki outside of our cat Loki. Because, of course, Loki cat has to be the best Loki.
Absolutely. So anyway, hey, did you check this out over there at Disneyland? They have a limited time lounge that guests can access. Disneyland's Magic Key program launched last week, giving former annual pass holders the opportunity to once again purchase their keys to the happiest place on earth. And to celebrate the launch, they have a new limited time experience for key holders, including a members only lounge in Tomorrowland. The Magic Key Starcade, they say that right, Starcade experience is located in Starcade Tomorrowland. Disney guests may recognize it as that big, often unused space by Space Mountain. And there you have it. There's the Magic Key kind of, you know, display with all the lights. And then they have the little lounge you can kind of relax there. And it looks like they have charging ports, extra seating, so you can get your phone a little bit of a recharge there, which is nice. And you can also get a sneak peek at some Magic Key exclusive merch, including new phone cases, popcorn bucket, and Magic Key logo embroidered Mickey ears as well.
Very nice.
So there's that new stuff. So if you're there, if you're a Disney Magic Key person, go ahead and check out that lounge over there by Space Mountain. Looks really neat too. So
I wonder why they changed it to Magic Key. Because Walt Disney World left it as annual pass.
I don't know. They
just want to be different, I guess.
They just want to be different. I don't know. But, you know, whatever. You know, different's fine, I guess. But I tell you what will be fine is people experiencing the Epcot International Food and Wine Festival. That's what I'm all about.
Is that what you're all about?
Let's get into the list, shall we?
Sure.
It's the Disney list. Top 10.
So, I love this event. Probably our favorite event at Walt Disney World Resort. And it pains me to say that we're probably going to miss it this year. It's going on for a long time, though.
I know.
You know? So, we have Kristen being Miss Dining at Disney.com. I think you're going to be hosting. We're talking about the Food and Wine Festival some more in your upcoming podcast, which are great, by the way. If you haven't checked out the Dining at Disney podcast, I'll make sure to plug it here. But we do have some tips and tricks. Some people call them hacks in a top 10 list for you. But we have one. Do we just want to just give some, you know, random tips? Is that what we're going to do today?
They're not in any particular order. All important.
Okay. Why don't we go ahead and talk?
Okay.
So what do we start with?
My first one is that when you get into the park, pick up one of the little guidebooks that have in there the list of all the food items that you can check them off, all that kind of stuff. It's worth it to pick one of them up and start marking what places you want to go to.
It's nice to have an agenda.
Yes.
You know, and we typically... In the past, we have gotten these guides, or we will take a look at where all of our favorite, you know, kiosks and marketplaces will be and run down the list, you know. And Kristen, you were very prolific at this because you had spent so many years writing these guides, you know, these books in regards to this event. But I love how we basically go down and we go, okay, we want to go left, we want to go right, what are we going to do? And then have our plan of attack.
Yes.
Which is super important because there's so many things to taste and experience.
And speaking of plan of attack, one of the things to do, if this applies to people who have been before. So if you've done the Food and Wine Festival in the past, this applies to you. You need to go through and decide what is most important to you. Is it to go back to your old favorites? Or is it to try something new and prioritize those? Because there's way too much food to eat everything. You know, unless you're like a party of like 10 people going through the park, you're not going to be able to eat everything unless you're going every day for a week.
It's a lot. So, it's a lot of marketplaces to check out.
It is.
It's a lot.
Yes. So you definitely want to decide which thing do you want to do more? Do you want to try what's new, or do you want to have your old favorite?
Yeah, I think for new people to the uninitiated, because, you know, it's been going on now since July. We have talked about this before, going all the way to November 20th of this year. If you're listening to it in the future, this is the longest it's ever run. But, you know, when you have a big party, I think this leads you to the next, you know, the next thing. It's cool that you share. Right?
Oh, yeah.
I think that's one of the things that you mentioned on your tips and tricks list. And Kristen and I oftentimes will do that. We will get these. And basically, when you go around from marketplace to marketplace in World Showcase, they give you a very small, it's not even like a tapas plate. It's a, you know, it's like a handful. It's just a very small sampling of the food, which is great because you can taste your way around the world, which is what it's all about. And you can share a couple bites. Kristen and I will have a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and we can taste and experience that. And it's fun when you're able to do that. Clean silverware, you can divvy out the little parcels of morsels of food, and then everybody can experience it. It's fun. I feel like the NPR people. It's like, it's fun. It's fun. Yes, good times, good times.
Speaking of sharing, yes. There's never enough tables.
Sharing is caring.
Yes, and so at times people are left to eat on top of trash cans, mm-hmm. which is Not fun.
No.
I know all the social distancing stuff is going on, but if you are okay with sharing your table with somebody else, don't hesitate to offer somebody and be like, hey, you can join us. Or asking somebody, do you mind if we join you?
Have you ever seen someone pull out like a little pop-up table? You know how sometimes they carry the little pop-up stools, you know, when you're in line?
Yes.
And they have it's like a little pop-up table.
No.
Can you imagine?
I can't imagine Disney letting people come in with a pop-up table.
People come into Disney with a lot worse, y'all. It's just great. But oftentimes Kristen and I will find people that are super fun and friendly, and they'll be like, oh yeah, sure, no problem. You know, pull up a little side of the table. What I love are those marketplaces, and I think they do this for like the American side. They've done this for some of the local Floridian marketplaces, where they'll actually have in like the wine country area. Well, they'll typically have this, or the beer garden in Germany, they'll have this outdoor area that has benches and seats that go all the way around, and everybody just kind of pulls up. It's like a counter.
A big like circular counter set up in where they usually do like the desserts and cheese plates, that little area. They often have one of those set up there. And it definitely makes it easier for you to find a spot than when there's tables.
Yes, absolutely.
Another thing to do is make sure you plan on either buying or carrying with you plenty of water to drink. Mm-hmm. Because it is very hot. You are out in the sun. You know, there's not a whole lot of covered areas for you to dine and, you know, sip and eat your way around. So you're going to be out in the hot sun. Most people are going to be drinking, and alcohol does dehydrate. So it's smart to carry that way you don't get heat exhaustion, you know, or get sick of any sort from, you know, drinking and not having enough water. So take water. We often carry in our backpack a small, you know, one of those cloth coolers, like a lunchbox, and put frozen bottles of water in it or very cold bottles of water in it with an ice pack. And that way they stay cold and you're not drinking warm water. Yeah.
And if we were to go today and bring the kiddos, and our kiddos are very young, so they would probably be in Meltdown City if we ever did anything like that. I wouldn't dare bring them out there to experience an entire day at Epcot, because that is just I don't think they'd be up to it, and it's super hot, right? So, but you do have strollers, so you could, you know, put a bunch of, you know, cooler stuff in there, you know, keep that stuff cool, you know. It is nice to have a stroller because you can store a bunch of stuff rolling around the park.
Well, and the other thing is Disney's strollers that they have, if you get one of the double strollers, because it's a side-by-side and their legs are up, you know, it's not, I mean, pretty much a kid could lay down in one of those and take a nap if they're small enough.
Exactly.
And so, like, for ours, that would work well because they're tiny.
Exactly. Yep. Good stuff. What else you got there?
Take a tray.
Yeah.
There's so many things at each marketplace that if you're planning on getting multiple things, you don't have enough hands, because you're going to need your neck to grab your napkins, your plasticware, you got your food, you got your drink. It makes it a lot easier. We bought years ago on Amazon one of the cafeteria trays and have taken that numerous times to the park.
It fits in the backpack okay, so...
Yes.
Not a big deal there.
It just barely fits in the backpack, though. But it does fit.
And people, we oftentimes will bring that tray out, and people will be like, wow, they came prepared. I'm like, yeah, no kidding. Weird. This is Miss Dining at Disney. Of course she comes prepared. And it does certainly help.
Well, and we've been doing food and wine festival for, what, over 15 years now?
Exactly.
So, yeah. So we got plenty of practice.
True.
Figuring out the best and worst ways to do things. So that's definitely, I think.
Well, when you're carrying multiple small plates of food back to wherever you're camped out. Because one of us will go in line, or maybe one of us will go and get a beer flight from somewhere and the other one will get food from somewhere, and we'll just all kind of try to find a place, come back together, because we like to divide and conquer on occasion. That's the way to do it. And that way you kind of, you know, you're not spending your whole time in line. You know, someone's getting something, you're getting something, let's reconvene here and let's try to find a table or something. And the tray is certainly a big help, because you can't carry some of that stuff back, you know, properly, and then bring your plasticware and napkins and all that. You can't carry all that, you know?
Well, and they used to sell those small trays that had the cup holder, which mm-hmm. are great if you're getting one dish and one drink. Mm-hmm. And we've got a few of those. And I've taken them to even local, you know, food and wine events, because it is handy to grab have something to put your drink and your food in. But that only works if you're getting one thing of food and one drink.
Mm-hmm. And having to hold it, you know, having a free hand, you know.
And when it's busier, you don't want to just get one thing and then have to go back, because you're going to wait in line. Mm-hmm. So it's best to just grab multiple things. That gives you the ability to carry all of it mm-hmm. and not worry about how, you know, trying to juggle your backpack and phone, camera, whatever you have along with everything else.
And for the record, the cafeteria tray, it's actually like 2/3 the size of a regular cafeteria tray. Right? It's a smaller tray.
Yeah.
And people freak out and be like, all of a sudden you have like this big tray going through, like, can I have some more pudding, please? You know, you're like Lunch Lady Land time, Adam Sandler style. No, that's not how we
did have the one time when we were going through bag check, a cast member asked us if we stole it from somewhere. And I looked at him and I was like, no, we bought it on Amazon.
Yeah. What? I mean, first of all,
pink. Let alone we got a pink one, because we figured that would stand out too.
That's right. It's a small pearlescent pink tray. You definitely didn't get it anywhere at Disney. It's like, you know, we're not stealing, you know, we don't steal utensils like some people do at Galaxy's Edge. I'm Al John Goh, co-host of the Disney List podcast, as heard on Sorcerer Radio, as well as Skull Rock podcast, here with my wife, Kristen. Hello.
Hello.
You are an earmarked agent who books Disney travel vacations for people all the time. Give our listeners a reason why they'd want to give you a call instead of just booking a trip by themselves.
Well, I can do all of the legwork for them. I have expertise. I've been to the Disney parks well over 100 times, so they've got that knowledge at their hand, as well as it saves them time and money.
Where can people get in touch with you so that they can book their next Disney cruise, Disney park trip, Adventures by Disney?
They can contact me at themeparksandcruises@gmail.com.
So anyway, all right. So more tips, tricks, and hacks. This is, if you're just tuning in on Sorcerer Radio, Kristen and I discussing today our top tips for doing the Epcot International Food and Wine Festival.
Because you are juggling, carrying so many things too, the next tip, this is going to make it when you go to checkout. Disney sells during food and wine or any of the special event, special events, these wristlet gift cards. So it's got like the little, what do you call those that are all twisty? That kind
of... The band?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's got the gift card attached to it, and you can load that with however much. This is great if you want a budget too. You can go, I only plan on spending X amount, load your gift card up with that amount. And then when it's out, it's out. But they are reloadable mm-hmm. and they're convenient to have on your wrist. They're smaller cards. So it's not like you're carrying like a big card on your wrist. But I will say, make sure the wrist that you put that on is your non-dominant hand, whichever hand you don't eat with, because you will put your hand down to eat something and get the card in your food. And who wants that?
No.
So that's one of them.
Nobody wants
one of those
that.
Things from experience when you've done it, you're like, yep, no, that's not going to work. Yeah. Put it on your non-dominant wrist.
Or you could do the old school way if you had a lanyard, you know.
But these are the wristlet ones.
But these are the wristlets, yeah. So the wristlets are nice and they're exclusive. The ones that you get at the festival itself are exclusive because you've got Chef Remy and Linguini and Remy, you know, Ratatouille film characters there that are on those wristlet cards.
And food and wine festival food and wine. Themed.
Yes, food and wine themed, which are really nice. And, you know, there you go. Pretty nice. Of course, you can always get it in advance if you go down to the Disney store, if you still have one that's around.
But they don't have the wristlet ones. You can get a gift card.
But yeah, you can't get, that's true. You can't get the wristlets, but yeah. The wristlets are...
Yeah, because you're not having to worry about pulling it out of a lanyard or a wallet or anything like that. It's just there. You swipe it and you're good to go. Mm-hmm. My next tip. Mm-hmm. There is so much to eat that... and different places to go to. I highly recommend, if you're going specifically for the Food and Wine Festival, plan on that being your only thing you're doing that day. Like, you're just going to enjoy the Food and Wine Festival, not that you're going to go and try and ride attractions and that kind of stuff, because just the layout of it all, it's so much easier and you're going to enjoy it so much more if you're just planning on that being what you're doing that day. Mm-hmm. Unless you're a family and you have little kids and that's not your main thing, that's just part of your day. But this is for people who want to really be all about the eating and drinking. Plan on that being your purpose, your mission, your goal for the whole day. Don't you think so? I mean, that's how we've done it after.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot, you know? So, I mean, that's kind of like your, this is what we are doing today. That is all we're doing today.
Yeah. It's kind of like the extra after hours events that they have when you're planning on doing, you know, the Oogie Boogie Party or something like that. You just plan on that's what you're going to do. If you have time, oh yeah, we're going to catch, you know, a couple of rides since they'll be little weight. But your main thing is always to enjoy that holiday.
Right.
So it's, think of it that way.
Right. I mean, if you're going just to try it, if you're doing the Epcot day, it just so happens that it falls in there. Yeah, sure. Of course, you can try it. But I think that if you're listening to this show, you want to get the very most you can out of your day at Epcot. And if that day is like, let's just do food and wine, let's just run about and do food and wine. This is definitely the game plan you need to have, right?
Yes. Also, don't plan on making dining reservations, because if your plan is for this, you will get full. I think the first time we went, we had booked the beer garden. We found out as the day went on, we were full. We did call, and this is before the fee if you didn't call and cancel your reservation, but we did call and cancel our reservation because we were getting so full, even though we knew our reservation was like at 8:30, something like that. It was a late reservation. Mm-hmm. We knew, we're like, we're not going to be hungry to eat a beer garden, like an all you care to eat meal. So we did cancel that. So consider that when you are there, that you may want to skip dining, because you can get full eating all day long. And because there are so many options, this is another tip. If you have a long time that you're going to be there, it's not just a 3 or 4 day trip, consider having a second day at Epcot to do food and wine. Don't have to do them back to back. We many times have done, the first or second day of the trip is one Epcot day. And then like 3 or 4 days later, we do another Epcot day for food and wine. And that way we break it up. And we have 2 full days to really get as many things in as we want to get.
It goes back to planning. It goes back to making sure that when you look at all the different things you want to try and experience, that you kind of space them out. And if you spill over, that's fine. You know, maybe you attack the other side of World Showcase the next day, right? Or maybe you just kind of spread them out over the course of the day, because you're going to be making your walk around World Showcase anyway. So maybe you, hop around and skip a couple kiosks, and then you'll make it back around next time. So it depends on your plan.
Yes. And whether or not you are doing 1 day, 2 day, 4 days, however, at Epcot for food and wine, prioritize your must-haves. Because there are over 30 booths for you to stop at. There's a lot of food. And what we often do is, you know, you, it's a lot easier to go around the whole thing instead of going and doing like half of them and then doing the other half, which you could do. We go through, these are our first round of must-have items, and we start knocking those out. So that way, when you go back for day two, you still can make some stops at some of those places along the way, instead of like walking halfway through it and then finishing the other half. That definitely makes a difference. If you are not local, this is another tip, go on a weekday. So now we're into bonus
tips.
These are bonus tips. Go on a weekday because the locals are off on the weekends. So Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday are always busy. Saturday gets extremely, extremely long lines. You can wait 30 minutes to order your food. So I highly suggest, if you are not local, to go Monday through Thursday in particular. It makes it a lot easier. You will enjoy it more because it's not as busy with people, because it gets insanely busy with line.
There you go. Do you want me to add some tips and tricks?
Sure.
Merchandise.
Merchandise.
So the Food and Wine Festival has exclusive merchandise that they change out every single year. They change it out not only for the normies, right? So everybody else that gets the stuff, but they also change it out for the annual pass holders. So be sure to check out the new collection. Remy's got a Shake Things Up collection you can check out this year. Pass holders have more Figment merch that they can shake a stick at. They also have this Bell Be Our Guest collection, and of course the typical offerings. Since it's brought to you by Corksicle, they have these brand new Corksicle tumblers and different things like that you can get, as well as some kitchen essentials, and that awesome Epcot International Food and Wine Festival 2021 tray and little wine glass thingy, which you can take around, and definitely has other uses, as this tray has other uses outside of the theme park. You could definitely use it for delivering food to your loved one, or, you know, serving some charcuterie on, or whatever you want to do. There you go. So that is my suggestion there. And I love the merchandise of Food and Wine. They even have this Apple Orchard collection that has Mickey and Minnie on there baking their new apple pie. And we know that Minnie loves to bake pies. So there you go. That's what I learned from watching Mickey Mouse's Clubhouse with the kiddos.
Good. Plan on setting aside some money to shop, because you will always find something that you want to buy during Food and Wine Festival if you are somebody who is a foodie or a cook, because there's just too many good things to miss.
This is true. And because I'm a musician, it wouldn't be a Food and Wine Festival without some live music. And this year, because of what's going on here globally, they're doing some interesting music and bands there at the Food and Wine Festival. So the Jammin' Chefs, the Jaminators are there doing their stuff at the Canada Mill stage at various times during the day. Of course, the guide there when you get into the park will give you some more information on that. Mariachi Cobra is always doing things at American Theater outside of their normal stint there at the Mexican Pavilion. The American Gardens Bandstand, which usually is the home of all the great bands from rock, pop, soul, and alternative, classic rock. They are doing something different this year. They are being presented by Florida Blue Medcare with a live concert series Friday through Monday evenings, where you can check out acts from across Central Florida playing some great music. So they've got everything from Latin American salsa to pop music and cover bands and tribute bands and things like that. So be sure to check out all the live music, the sights and sounds there at American Gardens Theater and there at the various stages throughout the festival.
I will say the one thing that makes me feel better about missing it this year is that I'm not missing...
Not watching Starship?
No. I'm not missing some of my favorite bands that we have seen there, like Gin Blossoms, Sugar Ray, you know, acts like that that we have
Sister Hazel
have seen numerous times and absolutely love and find to just be, you know, an added bonus for going to the Food and Wine Festival.
Yeah, Night Ranger. Like, we have seen so many bands there over the years and absolutely love it. And it's great. Some of these bands I've worked with over the years, so it's really nice to kind of, you know, hang out with them and do whatever. But what was your favorite act from back in the day when we used to go to the festival?
From back in the day, like it was a long time ago.
2 years ago. Pre-pandemic.
Oh.
Do you have a favorite band that you saw there? Because we've seen a lot. Exposé. Do you like Exposé? That was fun.
It was.
Sugar Ray, probably.
Wilson. Sugar Ray and probably Gin Blossoms, two of my favorites. But I'm a 90s like alt-rock girl, so I kind of
I have to say, other than Night Ranger, I think because I love the hard rock and classic rock of it all, I think my other favorite was Howard Jones. Because
that was good.
I have always wanted to see Howard Jones play Eat to the Beat concert series, and he was great. Like, I never got to see Howard Jones in his prime when he was touring in the 80s. He's one of my favorite 80s artists, and it was great to see that. But anyway, but if you're there, once again, check out that experience. Live music is great. And for the kids, this is another thing that you'll have to check out. Once again, brought to you by Corsicle. It's fun for all ages. You could have these kids, festival goers, have the hide and squeak scavenger hunt. And it's not just for kids. It's for people of all ages to check out, because you can purchase a map and get stickers from select festival merchandise locations. It's a nice kind of scavenger hunt. You can get them over at the Port of Entry, over at Pin Traders or World Traveler, located International Gateway. And then throughout the different, you know, World Showcase pavilions, as well as the marketplaces, you can get different ingredients to help your map and get the little stickers along the way.
You have to locate the Remy statuettes.
That's right. Locate Remy.
So anybody who loves Remy or Ratatouille, it's a must do.
Absolutely. And get it just for the stickers and the pins and stuff. And then Emile's Fromage Montage. If you like cheese like we do here, Chris and I love the cheese, the fromage, if you will. The whole family will enjoy Emile's Fromage Montage, where you can sample a variety of delicious cheeses served in inventive ways. You can purchase 5 cheese dishes from select global marketplaces listed in the passport, the festival passport that you get, which Kristen said you got to get the passport, the guide, so you can get a stamp for each purchased dish. And once you've collected all 5 stamps, bring the stamp festival passport to Shimmering Sips, hosted by Corksicle, for a specially prized unique to the Epcot International Food and Wine Festival. And tag Dining at Disney when you do it, because I'd like to see what you get. I know what you get, but still, be kind of cool.
I'm very excited about it being Corksicle. I hope next year it's Corksicle too, because I want a Food and Wine Festival Corksicle.
I think I feel like we need to play your interview back when you used to be in the Cranberry Bog. You remember when we used to get invited to do all the press events and you got to do an interview actually inside the Cranberry Bog?
That was fun.
Do you remember that? It was brought to you by Ocean Spray.
Yep. That Cranberry Bog was cool.
It was cool. You know, I mean, and when we used to cover this event for Dining at Disney and Sorcerer Radio, it was just so much fun in Tiki Room, the old podcast. But we used to carry all kinds of equipment around in the parks. I literally was like the AV guy backpack. You know, I had your big DSLR camera,
the
microphones, and the video camera stuff, and like it was insane.
Yeah, and that's back before like everybody, you know, was doing blogs and vlogs and all that kind of stuff. Because I remember we would get people walking up and asking, you know, cast members, do you have permission to take pictures of that?
Like, yeah. And now everybody comes up with a huge DSLR, you know, and it's crazy, right? It's like, you guys look like you're professionals. Like, yeah, no kidding, Sherlock. We are professional. That's why we're invited here. You guys?
Well, I mean, even when we weren't, even when it wasn't like an event.
Oh yeah. We always covered it. Joan is in the chat. Hello, Joan. Robert Taylor in the chat says solo trips. No solo trips, because first of all, now that we have kids and we don't live close to Walt Disney World, I used to work in Florida quite a bit. So it was not a big deal for me to do a solo trip if I needed to. or just go after work or whatever. But that whole arrangement is no, not to happen for a long while. But it will be nice. One of these days we will be heading back out there. But we want to know from you what your favorite part of the Epcot International Food and Wine Festival is. What kiosks do you like going to? And I think maybe as we wrap things up, you know, not only is the Disney Experience app a great way to kind of, you know, enjoy and kind of help plan, obviously the map and the passport are definitely ways for you to kind of check things off, what you've tried, make notes as to what you would like to experience again, because that's the fun thing. There are no rules. Once you kind of figure out what, you know, what to expect, going from kiosk to little kiosk and look at the things you enjoy, that's the important thing. This is vacationing your way. If you want to go back to Hawaii and have some more pork sliders, that is all good. And in fact, you can spend the whole day there and eat pork sliders to your heart's content if that's what you want to do, you know, or if you want to go check out the other, you know, global marketplaces, because there's so many this year. Do you have a particular one that maybe is new or an old one that you like? You want to just kind of shed some light on that? Because I know you're going to talk more about it on Dining at Disney, but there's so much to check out. I have a few.
Gosh.
You want me to go first?
Sure, because okay. I can't think of, I mean, I can't find like just a favorite.
So Boy likes to eat and I love donuts. So you can check out the donut box, adventurous assortment of donuts as well as refreshing beverages. And yeah, it's not, you know, it's not anything special, but they do have a pack of four daily donuts, the crispy chicken sriracha glazed donut, which is the bomb. I'd love to take that home with me. And then of course they also have the different beverages there, like the strawberry smoothie and things like that. The different beers that you can have, Left Hand Brewery's bittersweet imperial coffee milk stout that you can have with a donut. So I'm down with that. And another thing that I always love is Hops and Barley at the All-American, yeah. At the American Pavilion, which has the craft beer. Craft beer has been such a huge thing in America over the past 10 years. And they always have amazing craft breweries from around the Southeast. A couple from California as well. They've got the 81 Bay Brewing Company from Tampa. They've got Sweetwater Brewing from Atlanta, known for their IPAs. They've got the Mills Creek River, the Bold Rock Roast that they have there, if you like coffee hard cider, which is an interesting combination. And they have a couple different brewers from California as well. So get a beer flight and have some awesome food there. The New England lobster roll is always a favorite. And they also have the carrot cake with cream cheese icing, which I'm also a huge fan of. So that's just a couple things. And I also wanted to mention this because I saw people post about this as well. And that's the cream-filled Italian donut with raspberry sauce, the bomboloni.
Oh, yeah.
Over in Italy. Wowzers, y'all. Absolutely wowzers. Any one of their things that they have there just looks amazing.
You're making me hungry.
I know, I'm starving. I'm so hungry right now.
Mac and Eats is new, as well as the Noodle Exchange. And there's, if you like mac and cheese or you like noodles, you definitely won't want to miss those two new ones.
You won't want to miss.
Are you making fun of me?
No, not at all. Not at all. I'm just going through and just looking at all these great things to choose from. Yeah, there's so many to choose. There's so many to choose from, y'all. The Tangerine Cafe flavors of Medina. Did I say that correctly? Moroccan cuisine is always
pistachio
super.
Pistachio cake.
That's right.
I want the pistachio cake.
Pistachio cake.
It has my favorite flavors. Pistachio, along with cinnamon pastry cream, which I love.
Yes.
Oh, and candied walnuts.
Yes. They also have a fig cocktail with white cranberry juice and fig vodka. That can't be bad. That can't be bad. So once again, if you've tried any of these, let us know. If you want more information about the Epcot International Food and Wine Festival, please check out the Dining at Disney podcast. Kristen and the crew host it every week. Definitely deserves a plug there. And I'd love to see you subscribe to all of our shows. So can you imagine? Like, this is the show. We're done. And leave us those comments and tips and tricks and hacks for you to get the most out of your trip to Epcot for the International Food and Wine Festival. Man, all of this food and wine talk is making me hungry.
I'm starving.
Kristen, where can people find you and book their next Disney trip?
As far as their Disney trip, they can reach me at themeparksandcruises@gmail.com. If you're all about Disney food and dining, check out the Dining at Disney podcast with myself, Bubba, and Kat, where we talk about everything having to do with Disney food at Disneyland and Walt Disney World. You can follow us on social media. It's Dining at Disney. So nice and easy breezy there.
Nice. Follow me at AlJohnGo on Instagram. I post some fun there. And once again, find us on Sorcerer Radio, everywhere you find podcasts for the Disney List. Most importantly, Facebook. You can even leave us voicemail messages there on anchor.fm/Disney List. And I'd love to play some voicemails from you and see what you have to say about the show and give us those questions. And in the next coming weeks, we've got a bunch of really cool things to talk about. Our wedding anniversary is happening next week, which is exciting. And maybe we'll talk about some of the fun things. This is what I'm thinking.
Okay.
What are some of the fun things that you and I have experienced as a couple? The top 10 things we've experienced as a couple there at the parks.
Okay.
Which is fun, right? And then we'll also talk about the Halloween park stuff that we've got going on, like the top 10 things to experience during Mickey's Boo Bash and the assorted Halloween fun times there at the parks. But once again, the other thing too is not only follow Dining at Disney, this podcast, but also the other podcast that I produce, which is Skull Rock Podcast with our co-host and friend of the show, Dave Bossert, former Disney director of special projects, animator, filmmaker, and author. He's got a brand new book that's out I would love to plug, which is the Claude Coates book. And Claude Coates, an Imagineer, just a legendary Imagineer. We're going to have him back on the show to talk about that. But this is week two of us talking with Disney famed producer extraordinaire Don Hahn. And we've got a couple more films. We talked about Beauty and the Beast and the 30th anniversary, I think, of Beauty and the Beast. We're going to be talking about Hunchback of Notre Dame and its anniversary, as well as Atlantis. So a couple more weeks left of Don Hahn on the show, so please check out Skull Rock Podcast. In the meantime, thank you all for listening and taking the time to check out the Disney List. I'm Al John.
And I'm Kristen.
And we'll see you real soon.
This is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or its holdings and is intended for entertainment purposes.
I'm Kristen Hetzel, co-host of Dining at Disney Podcast. Every week I chat about dining at Disneyland and Walt Disney World Resort and Disney Cruise Line with my fellow foodie, Bubba. We also feature restaurants and food reviews, information to help you plan your dining, Disney food news, recipes, and a monthly panel discussion. Visit diningatdisney.com and subscribe to Dining at Disney Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, or your favorite podcast platform. Dining at Disney Podcast, the happiest plate on earth.